Dear friends, what a pleasure meeting you again to continue our study about the double documents. As I told you, there were likely two passages in the Bible about the double documents, even if this is not clearly expressed. Let's turn to the first passage. We find it in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. Chapter 32, verses 1 to 5. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, "Why do you prophesy and say, 'Thus says the Lord'? Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape from the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him face to face, and see him eye to eye. Then he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall be until I visit him, says the Lord. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not succeed." Thus is the situation. The armies of Babylon are surrounding Jerusalem. The whole country is under the dominion of the invaders. Jeremiah is in jail because he advises not to fight against the king of Babylon, as he is convinced to have received the message from God that Jerusalem is going to be taken. He is about to have an amazing experience, which you can read in Jeremiah 32, verses 6 to 15. And Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, will come to you, saying, Buy my field which is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it.' Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord and said to me, 'Please, buy my field that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours and the redemption yours. Buy it for yourself.' Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle, who was in Anathoth, and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver. And I signed the deed and sealed it, took witnesses, and weighed the money on the scales. So I took the purchase deed, both which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the purchase deed to Baruch, the son of Neriah, son of Maaseiah, in the presence of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses who signed the purchase deed, before all the Jews who sat in the court of the prison. Then I charged Baruch before them, saying, 'Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this purchase deed which is sealed and this deed which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land.
On achètera encore des maisons, des champs et des vignes dans ce pays.
It is clear that in buying this field, Jeremiah is not going to take any advantage of it. He himself predicted that captivity in Babylon would last 70 years. Consequently, his children or grandchildren at best would have made the most of it. But there was a message to be given, and this message consisted in telling, "I am not a traitor, but I know from the Lord that this city is going to be taken, so if you fight, you could die. But if you surrender yourself, you would save your life." Thus, his purpose was to save the people's life. Hanamel comes to sell him a field. Maybe you have not noticed all the details here, but they are very helpful to understand that we have here a double document. At first sight, we have the impression that there are two documents. One is open and the other one sealed. The thing is that the Hebrew word used in this case for document is sefer, which is translated book in singular. It is termed in plural only in verse 14, probably because there are two different documents, one representing a purchasing contract and the other certifying the payment. But, for example, in verse 10, there is only one document. And the text could be translated thus, Jeremiah 32, verses 10-11, "And I signed the deed and sealed it, took witnesses, and weighed the money on the scales. So I took the purchase deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open." This means that the same document is both open and sealed. We have a second proof to understand that we are dealing with a double document. If you have been with me when talking about the simple document and the double document, you might have noticed the different order of things. In a simple document, we write the document, we have the witnesses sign it at the bottom, then it is rolled and sealed. Let's summarize. We write it, the witnesses sign, and we seal the document. It goes differently with the double documents. At first, we write the document. We seal it, and then the witnesses are asked to sign. That is, to say the last action is the signature of the witnesses. Well, let's go back to the text of Jeremiah to see in which order things took place. Jeremiah 32, verses 9-10. "And I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribe the evidence and seal it and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balances." The procedure in itself is an indication showing that it is most likely a double document. Obviously, the archaeologists are puzzled by this because no double document seemed to have been found before 311 BC. Thus, we are facing a riddle. So far, it was thought that the Greeks invented the double document, even if previous ones existed. But you see, there is an element here that seems to tell us that the double document or something resembling it was already in use at the end of the 7th century BC. This is the first time a double document was discovered. Now, I would like to lead you towards the second instance. You can find this in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2.
Apocalypse chapitre 5, je lis à partir du verset 1er.
And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof?" The way this text is written does not seem to give much information. I would like to read again the elements that could make us think that we have a double document. First of all, remember what I shared with you during our first meeting. The Book of Life as we know it now shows 2 double aspects. In Revelation 13 and 17, the book is sealed, whereas in Revelation 3, verse 5, the book is open. This is the first element. In this text of chapter 5, we have to note the following elements. It is said, for example, in verse 1, that it was a book written within and on the backside. Let's say that this doesn't imply a mistake, but rather a small adaptation of translation. In fact, the text says ezoten. Ezoten means inside. Ke opisten or opisto means at the back. One could tell that there isn't much difference between a writing inside and outside. However, the Romans used to call these 2 writings, written on the same side of the parchment, the papyrus, the scriptura interior and the scriptura exterior. To say that the text was written on both sides of the page, one would have used in Greek natural symmetrical, for example, esoten, inside, and exoten, outside. Or one could have used improsten, which means in front of, and opisten, meaning at the back. It is not so. 2 words are used which are not naturally opposite, and double documents have never been referred to this way. Moreover, the expression opisto or opisten means behind, but also following, after. And consequently, we could have a text not written at the back, but after the previous one, thus compatible with a double document. We have a 3rd proof, and this could be found in chapter 5, verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" Have you noticed the order of things? Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? If I take a simple document, first I have to loose its seals before opening the book. I loose the seal, and after that I can open the book. Now, if I take a double document, The double document, when sealed, was folded again, having the seals inside. Thus, its shape was like a flattened cylinder, because the seals would shape it this way. It was then kept in the library, but with a double document. First, we open the book. Then, when we get to the seals, we open the seals. Let's go back to the text, Revelation 5, verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" If we open the book and then loose the seals, this can only be a double document. This is not perchance. Have a look at verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Let's watch the movement again. To open the book, and the seven seals, we can see that we are dealing with a double document. What is the purpose of such a thing? In fact, this is, in a certain way, an answer to the issue of predestination. Indeed, the text we have just read in Revelation 13, verse 8, could bring us to believe that there is a predestination. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. It seems that some people have never been written in the book of life. At first glance, this seems unbearable. But again, let's go back to my double document. Archaeology is going to help us understand what's going on with those two writings. Have you noticed before that the scriptura interior, the scripture which is inside, is much thinner and tighter than the scripture outside? And this for a simple reason. The space given was set in advance. In fact, the empty space between the two writings was set in advance, which means that if one had to add something, one would have been obliged to narrow the text. Even better, it has been noted that the text at the bottom, the scriptura exterior, was written before the scriptura interior. And it happened that deletions were found. And for example, here we have a copy of the evidence of Jeremiah's contract. The text is found in Jeremiah chapter 32. Well, he paid his field 17 shekels. So, we simulated a mistake as if it was written 19. We then deleted and wrote 17 instead. What do you think is written on the upper part, the amended text? If the corrected one is on the upper part, this means that it was written before the one at the bottom. And this is an extraordinary answer to predestination. You see, the upper part was the one God wrote from the foundation of the world. The lower part is the one we write every day. God knows everything in advance, but doesn't reveal anything to anybody about it, even if he knows in advance what would be our choices. He writes it, but this in no way determines our choices. In the writing of a double document, what determines the upper part is what is written on the lower part. It is not the upper part that determines the lower part. Thus, what God wrote from the foundation of the world reveals the foreknowledge of God. What makes the difference are our own choices. That is what God wrote beforehand. God has never predestined us to be lost. If there is a predestination, as Paul says, this is a predestination for salvation. Thus, this double document is not a proof in favor of predestination, but God knows things in advance, and even though he foresees what would be the choice of each one of us, he has given to all a chance, and he remains discreet. Having sealed the double document, nobody knows about it, not even the angels who have mission to help human beings. We can say that we have a God who is good, generous, who, knowing things in advance, has told us what to do, and he showed us the way, but he would never have traced a way we couldn't have been able to follow. How mean would have been our God in calling us to walk uprightly, knowing that we wouldn't have been able to make it? Then we must understand this double document has been the expression of the goodness of God. He knows everything in advance, yet will work everything for our salvation, whatever the choice we make. Let me add a last thought. Have you noticed the contract signed by Jeremiah was one of redemption? Perhaps you have not also noted that the book sealed with seven seals in Revelation 5 is also a redemptive contract. Let us read this verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation. This document is the contract of redemption signed from the foundation of the world, and through which Christ vowed to save humanity even before it existed. He loved us, signed a contract of our salvation with his blood.